Well, here we are. It's our second Sunday back. It's the middle of summer, and so we are excited to be together. And also, we're still not together, right? We're still kind of distanced. We're still kind of, some of us are at home. Some of us are here. Some of us are on vacation. Who knows where we are? But we're just so thankful to be together. And so this morning, I just wanted to share a little word of hopefully encouragement and of challenge this with us, with you here, with you wherever you are, with you whoever watches later on, who knows. It's kind of an exciting time to know that we're putting together something that if you're not able to make it or if you are gone, you know, now we have the tools that you can, you know, almost feel like you were there even if you weren't able to. So, you know, I'm thankful for that this kind of, this challenging time has brought us to a place where we're doing something new and something to keep us better connected. So that's just such a blessing. But before I get into the sermon, let me pray for us again. And just continue to ask the Lord to lead us and guide us. God, we know that we are so small. And God, these last few months have really unveiled just how small we are, God, and how out of control we often our lives may be, even though we hang to this illusion that they're not. But God, we know that if we trust you, we know that if we will lean on your strength, that you will get us through any storm, that you have overcome even death, and we can take heart in that. God, we just ask you this morning that you would send your Spirit on us in this room, on us anywhere that we are, a part of this service, God, that we would just feel your touch, that we would be encouraged and challenged, that you would kind of ignite something in us, that we would just continually want to seek you and to serve you and to love our neighbors. May that be our purpose here this morning, to show our love and affection for you and to be challenged to, out of an overflow of who you are and who you've called us to be, to just love others well. May we do that in any way possible, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, I wanted to talk about a topic that I have talked about before. It is nothing new. It's nothing, I don't think, really that revolutionary. In fact, it's something very, very small. And I think that the small thing that I have to talk about may come as a surprise to you, especially because if you've got on the Bible app at all, you will see that the title of today's message is called Facing Our Giants. Oftentimes, I don't think we consider our giants to be small, but they so often can be. This morning, the passage that I used is one of my favorites. It's one that I think of constantly, and as I was preparing this week, it's honestly a passage that I use in prayers a lot and that I say a lot and that I know by heart. But as I was preparing for this week, I was just kind of praying and seeking direction, and the Lord kept bringing this verse back to me. And I thought, God, I talk about that verse all the time. It's very common. Like, is there a new word you have for me? But sometimes I think it's like we have these small things that we need to focus on that will help in a big and mighty way. The verse is simply Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And I'm going to start with reading 1 for you. Hebrews 12, 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," referring to Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith where the author discusses many people in the Old Testament that had great faith. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run the race with perseverance that is marked out for us." From an early age, probably not the first time I read that verse, but a long time ago, it stuck out to me so vividly in my mind that the author of Hebrews says it this way. Let us strip off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. That was always, I said always, I don't want to say always. That has been such a profound thought to me for so long. And now, sin, what is sin, I think, is a very hard thing to nail down. Of course, there's the big ones that we know, you know, like, you know, the Ten Commandments, or there's some big sins, you know, don't murder, don't steal, don't lie. There's some things that we know to be sin. But honestly, one of the reasons I love this verse so much is because in most of our lives, in the average person's day-to-day, it's fairly easy to navigate the big sins, right? Like, we know not to kill people. We know that stealing is wrong. We know these kind of big overarching things. And it's really not that challenging for us to do the big things, if you want to call them that, right. I imagine them like, they're not this way, but you can kind of almost look like these big things as like laws. Like, for many of us, the laws, now, not the little tiny ones that nobody can understand, but the general law is pretty easy to navigate and to not break, right? You just, you know, we know there are things that you're not supposed to do, and we just don't do those things. But I feel like so often there are these other things that are really what would, these things that I think the Hebrew author is pointing to, these things that so easily entangle us, I mean, these things that hinder us, I feel like there's this camp that this is really where true formation comes from. This is really where we can really narrow things down and work on. And it's so personal and individual that it can be hard to discuss, because for all of us, it's different. For all of us, we have these big things that we all know are the things, right? Like I've mentioned a few, you know, murder, steal, lie. So here's what I'm going to do today. I feel like so often when you're presented by a pastor or a speaker or someone, when you're presented with an issue to overcome, I feel like there's two camps out there, and I want to avoid both of these camps. The one camp is pastors will tell stories about things that they used to struggle with and that the Lord saved them from, and now they are on the right path, right? That's pretty common. Like, oh, I used to struggle with this, but I did this, or I reformed, or I found God, and you know, this is what you need to do to overcome that thing, which can be powerful and great and very helpful. And then the other camp is people, speakers, who are just constantly almost like bemoaning their problems, right? It's just you're constantly berated with everything that's wrong, and they don't often seek to really be trying to do anything about it. It's just like, oh, I always have these problems, 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 problems. You know, there's just all this muck in life. I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with that, and I'm dealing with that. And there's just a lot of, we can get compassion fatigue, I think, when we discuss things with people that do that. But I want to try to fit into a middle camp here. I want to tell you guys a struggle that I have that I believe is one of these things that is a strip off everything that hinders us topic that I'm personally currently dealing with. And that thing is fairly small. It's this. Yeah. Now, I don't know if anybody else has a problem with one of these, but I do. I have found myself on this thing a lot, and unnecessarily. And in fact, it is something that really bothers me. It really bothers others that I interact with, and it is a problem. I don't know if I would go so far to say that I'm addicted to my phone, but I am on it a lot. And in fact, when the world turned off back in March, and all of us went to our homes and were there for a long time, my work life and my home life were no longer separate. as was the case for most of us. And because of that, the boundaries that I sort of had with this device kind of went away. And so this problem was exacerbated by the fact that everything was kind of mixed up and jumbled up for a while. Now, again, I say that to say this. I'm not sure that this thing I'm dealing with is a sin, per se. And in fact, I'm not sure that I could give you a very clear-cut definition on what things fall into the camp of things that hinder us and things that are sin. But what I can say is, at least the author of Hebrews is challenging us to work on both. And I think that there is a lot of these types of things that a lot of us struggle with. It may not be your phone. It may be what you eat, or the fact that you think you should work out and you don't. It could be conversations you have with people or don't have that you feel like would be very beneficial. It could be a number of things. But for me, it was my phone, the first thing that I thought of. And I kept thinking of this saying that I've had in my brain since I was very young. And the saying is this: you gotta be where you are to get where you're going. Seems like a duh kind of thing, right? But it's so profound. How many of us are not where we are? How many of us are somewhere else? Even if we're here in body, our brains are thinking about lunch or our vacation or our, you know, we might be on our phone not paying attention, or you could be on your phone, you know, watching the online service, which would be cool. You could do both. That would be kind of fun. But you got to be where you are to get where you're going. And then I was challenged again a couple weeks ago when Pastor Daniel preached. He used a quote by Mother Teresa that was this. He said, Mother Teresa said, "There are no great acts. There are only small acts with great love." And gosh, I just think that this concept of doing the little things well, of trying to work on these things that hinder us, is when our faith goes from just kind of casual, when our faith goes from really just, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian, to being very, very formative, to being something that really changes our lives. It goes from being just business as usual, where everybody's like, oh yeah, I understand what Christianity is, it's not that interesting, to being irresistible. Because when our lives are transformed and we're constantly allowing ourselves to be challenged and to be better, that is a faith, I think, that is irresistible. Some of the people that I look up to in the faith are people who are constantly allowing God to kind of interrupt them, to challenge them, to change what they think or to change how they act. And it is truly inspiring and is truly irresistible. I think that we must be diligent to constantly be challenging ourselves, to constantly be facing our giants, even though they may only be 8 ounces. See, my giant right now is an 8-ounce block that I carry in my pocket. But yours may be something else. Your giant may be something that actually is kind of big as far as size or scope. Your giant may be a relationship that needs mended. Your giant may be a relationship that needs cut off. Your giant may be, again, what you eat or what you drink or how you act around people. It could be the type of things you watch on TV, or it could be the amount of time that you watch TV, or it could be dot, 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 dot. I don't know what it is, but we all have them. We all have these giants in our life. They may not show themselves as sin. They may not be obvious as sin, but they're things that hinder us, and there are things that are holding us back. So how do we do it? That's the question, right? Okay, I hear you. We have these things in our lives. Great, I already knew that. Or I didn't know that, but great. Now, one more thing to think about. Now what? How do we constantly be aware? How do we constantly be reforming? How do we constantly be, as Daniel quoted last week, asking God not if he is on our side, but if we are on his side? How do we do it? Well, the next verse gives us a little clue. The next verse, Hebrews 12:2, says this. It simply says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." The answer is pretty simple. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy. And that doesn't mean that I have a systematic way to give you like a 1-2-3 step. I wish I did. I wish I just had some sort of system I could hand you and say, well, it's pretty simple. You just blah, blah, blah. And then we could all, you know, just fix it, right? You know, I jokingly say a lot, you just need to analyze the problem and fix it. But a lot of times in life, it's not that simple, right? This verse, while it doesn't give us a systematic approach to stripping off everything that hinders us, it gives us huge insight into the direction that we need to go. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Fixing our eyes on Jesus means so many different things to so many different folks. And what Jesus is calling us to is radically different for everyone. If we fix our eyes on Jesus and look to the scriptures to see what he says, we'll find a lot of things. Jesus says to one guy to sell everything and give to the poor. Jesus says to another guy to be born again. Jesus tells another guy to let him spit in some dirt and rub it on his face and he'll be healed. Jesus tells somebody else that if they leave their boats and follow him, they'll find true life. He tells another that just by having faith, his kid was healed. He tells us all different things depending on who we are and what our circumstances are and where we are. But the reality is, Jesus is calling us all to something. He's calling us all to strip off everything that hinders us and the sin that so entangles us, but we don't know what that is if we're not fixated on who he was, who he is, and who he's calling us to be. We're all called to respond to Jesus, but that response is going to look different. That response may look for some like getting up early every morning and reading your Bible first thing. It may look like for some praying at every meal. It may look like for some staying up late and meditating. It may look like coming to church once or twice a week. It may look like singing in your car worship songs while you drive to and from wherever you're going. It may look like getting together with a small group that you trust, talking about life or theology or the challenges you have or the way that you wish the world was better. It may look like sharing a meal with others. Fixing our eyes on Jesus can look a lot of different ways. There is no one prescribed way that we can do it. For me, I'll tell you what it looks like. And it's always changing and it's always different. But for me, it looks like getting up a few days a week and meditating. Sometimes it's reading. Sometimes it's just sitting and quietly thinking. Sometimes it's actively praying, like saying words. And sometimes it's just listening. Sometimes it means really listening to others. Sometimes fixing my eyes on Jesus means I'm actually listening to another person tell me their story, tell me who they are or what they are, what they care about or what they're being challenged by. Sometimes it means focusing on this great cloud of witnesses that we have. You see, the Hebrews 12:1 is talking about a great cloud of witnesses. And we, being 2,000 years removed from this passage, we don't just have the Old Testament heroes of the faith to look back, but we have just a library full of people of faith that have come before us that have done incredible things. Sometimes it means reading about them and seeing how they fixed their eyes on Jesus and how they did it to gain a whole new understanding of how we could maybe do it too. The more I've walked in this life and tried this thing called faith or Christianity, the more that I find that our giants are often tackled by doing the little things well. When you do little things well, they add up to be big things. And sometimes they may seem so insignificant in the moment. Sometimes your little things may seem so irrelevant. How is my life going to change just by doing this? You know, a little thing for me recently has been just waking up 1 hour earlier every day. Just 1 hour. It's not that much. But just getting up that 1 hour extra has made a huge difference in my life recently. I think that if we face these giants, then we will find oftentimes that the other things will take care of themselves. The big things oftentimes seem to be not so big when we're doing the little things well. So that's my challenge this morning. For me, it looks like dealing with this 8-ounce block that's in my pocket every day. For me right now, it means trying to be more present with my family when I'm at home, trying to set boundaries for when I do or don't use this little guy, trying to make sure that when I'm playing with my kids, I don't have it out or around, trying to make sure that I don't get caught up in, you know, all of the mess that is social media. You know, for me, this is my giant right now. I wish I had a resolved way to tell you how to fix it. But even if I did, it wouldn't matter because your giants are different. We're not going to be facing the same thing. We're not going to be going through the same stuff because each and every one of us is different, and that's good because that's going to help us help each other. That's going to give us the strength to encourage one another. So my challenge today is simple, and it comes straight from the text. My prayer for you, my prayer for me, my prayer for all of us is that we would strip off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and that we would run with perseverance the race marked out before us. Would you pray with me? God, we are so grateful. We're grateful for you. We're grateful for the church. We're grateful that you have called us to something new and good. And God, we're just grateful that you have given us this cloud of witnesses. We have this beautiful and amazing cloud of witnesses that we can read in the scriptures. And we have this just huge cloud of witnesses of people that have looked to the scriptures and have looked to Jesus throughout the centuries. We have so many options that we can find you, that we can see so many different ways that we can learn about who you are and who you've called us to be. God, we ask that you would help us with every breath and with every step to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, that we would know that he bore so much and that his example is so profound, and that when we look to him, we can see so many different ways of how we can face the little things day by day. We ask that you would give us the strength. We ask that you'd give us the determination to, with every breath and with every step, run the race with perseverance. Help us this morning. Help us to be encouraged and challenged to go out, to be filled up, and to do the little things well, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.